Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all the issues of the Jinx. It's a newsletter for magicians and mentalists. It lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from the Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable today. Spoiler alert, the answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 16 today, which contains the editorial by Theodore Animan, A Visible Cigarette Vanisher by Lou Brent, Again a Prediction by Doc Mifflin, The Lucky Number Magic Square by Royal V. Heath, Burr, meaning very cold, by Otis Manning, and finally The Acme Thought Card Pass by Dr. Jacob Daly and Theodore Animan. Issue number 16 marks the start of a new year in 1936, and Animan opens his editorial with a report from the SAM Club Night at the Hotel McAlpin in New York on December 3rd. He saw a review written up elsewhere and decided to skip the standard rundown in favor of the moments other reporters didn't think were worth mentioning. The main event, as far as Animan is concerned, involves Cardini. After 11 minutes of what Animan describes as a magnificent, manipulative presentation, Cardini spent the final 3 minutes doing a deliberate expose of a rubber band trick, and then casually mentioned that anyone who wanted to know about it could read Popular Mechanics. Animan says the sarcastic byplay was badly out of place, and it ruined what had come before. There's a lot more about the brouhaha in the issue, and Animan closes that section with the observation that grown men conducting themselves like chastised schoolboys, bell ringing, feuding, walking out in front of outside guests, makes magic look like a hobby for children. These same men, he says, wouldn't behave that way in their actual businesses. On a more positive note, Percy Abbott is launching a new monthly called The Tops, starting January 1st. Animan is skeptical of its stated policy of publishing grievances while also accepting advertising, noting that the Jinx takes no ads and is therefore free to say what it pleases, but he wishes it well for the sake of good magic. So here we are in the future. We know that the Tops lasted for 21 years until 1957, and then it started up again in 1961 as the New Tops, and that lasted until 1994 for a 33-year run on top of the first. Back to the editorial, then there's the Burling Hall matter, which Animan declares he is now closing, permanently. He quotes a letter from a respected colleague who makes the case that Animan was wrong to raise it at all, since nothing he could say would hurt Hall with people who know him, and that the coverage only gave him free advertising. Animan's response is two words, "I apologize." Whether that settles it is left to the reader. Next is A Visible Cigarette Vanisher from Lou Brent, and the premise is right there in the title, a cigarette vanisher that is openly shown to the audience before the cigarette disappears. So the device is simply a short cigarette holder of the kind sold in tobacco shops and carried by actual smokers, in the 1930s anyway. Cigarettes placed into it in plain sight, the holder is shown around, and then it's gone, pulled away like magic. The holder was always visible, it just didn't register as apparatus because it looked like an ordinary accessory, which is kind of how magic props should look. Animan adds a practical note in his editor's comment, a small piece of adhesive tape inside the holder, sticky side out, ensures the cigarette stays firmly seated and won't slip during the vanish. If you're a vape kind of person, I imagine there are a lot of ways this could be modified for use today. And an obvious presentational angle would be that some people start vaping to try and stop smoking, but then they need to figure out a way to make the vaping stop. Poof. Full details on the original at JinxNavigator.com. This next one is from Doc Mifflin. It's called Again a Prediction, and it's a book test built around a deck of cards. So kind of a clean combination of two organic elements. A prediction's written on a slip, folded, and dropped into a cup. The deck is mixed and spread, and a helper freely chooses a card. They're handed a small book of poems or short fiction and asked to open to the page matching their card's number, then find the word at that same position. The slip is taken from the cup and read, and the prediction matches. So you've heard of multiple outs. This effect only requires 13 of them. Do you have a pocket index that you never knew what to do with? This is it. Get it out and give this effect a try. Find out all the details at JinxNavigator.com. Next, we have the lucky number square from Royal V. Heath. It's a mathematical effect built around somebody's birth date. The kind of thing you could do as an impromptu piece. Pen and paper is all you need, or even a dirty car window in the parking lot. The performer asks for a birth date, writes the numbers above a blank 3x3 grid, and then, with two choices made freely by the helper along the way, fills in all 9 squares. The completed grid turns out to be a magic square, which of course means every row, column, and diagonal adds up to the same total. The digits of that total are then reduced to a single number, which Heath presents as the helper's personal lucky number. The two choices the helper makes, which number to use first and whether to add or subtract it, feels completely free. Heath's construction is such that none of the combinations change the final result. The whole thing can be done on the back of a business card, handed to the helper, and paired with a brief reading from numerology. Full details are at jinxnavigator.com, and be sure to check out the comments in that article for a free crash course on numerology readings that will help make this effect even better, he says humbly. This next one is from Otis Manning, and Burr, meaning very cold, is a comedy piece for nightclub work, the kind of thing that gets written up by reviewers. The performer has just finished an effect using a borrowed handkerchief. Oh, wait, that's two strikes already in the first two sentences. No nightclubs, nobody carries handkerchiefs. Anyway, we'll continue, though. Borrowed handkerchief, he's about to return it. He pauses, announces one more trick, and starts searching his pockets for a nickel. Finding none, he borrows one from a helper. The coin goes under the handkerchief, magic words are spoken, and the handkerchief is whisked away. In place of the nickel is an ice cream cone, and it gets handed to the helper as an even trade. Even with my snarkiness earlier, I think this effect has promise. So the cone is a 1 cent candy cone with marshmallow topping, sold at candy counters everywhere in 1936. At 3 feet away, it passes for the real thing, and Anneman notes that even when the helper discovers it's candy rather than ice cream, the second laugh is just as good as the first. The nickel, meanwhile, finds its way back to the helper if the performer is feeling generous. Full details at jinxnavigator.com, and while you will not find a candy ice cream cone these days, not for a penny anyway, I'll bet there are a ton of things you could put into its place, so check out the handling. The final effect in issue number 16 is a collaboration between Anneman and Dr. Jacob Daly, and it's a card transposition effect for club or drawing room use called the Acme Thought Card Pass. Helper shuffles the deck and deals 2 piles of 10 cards. He takes one pile out into the audience where 2 different people each silently think of any card they see. Both piles are sealed in envelopes. One goes to the helper to pocket, one stays with the performer. The performer announces that the 2 thought of cards will travel invisibly from the helper's envelope to his own. The helper opens his envelope and counts only 8 cards. Both of the people thinking of cards name their cards. The helper fans through his 8 and confirms they are gone. The performer's envelope is opened by someone else, 12 cards, and the 2 named cards are right there among them. Anneman is candid that he'd been trying to work out this effect with unprepared cards for a long time and couldn't crack it. Daly figured the core method almost immediately when the subject came up in conversation, and the preparation is minimal, happens in advance, and it's just built into a stack of ordinary envelopes. There's even a contingency built in for the rare cases where 2 people happen to think of the same card. You can find full details on this at jinxnavigator.com. That is it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator Podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. How much? Free. Completely free. Use the contact form on that site to let me know what you think of the podcast, good or bad, or indifferent. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue 17, which includes Finger Exercise by Otis Manning. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator Podcast. See you next week.